Today, well, you can see the title, Touching the Heart of God. Just want to speak for 20 minutes, and then afterwards we will be having the baptisms. So I'm going to refer or read from Matthew chapter 3 from the New Living Translation. This is Jesus' baptism. Verse 13 says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he said, 'so why are you coming to me?' But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy.'" It's not often that we actually speak about baptism actually in the church. It comes up on some of our courses, which we do. And even on baptismal services, we've not normally said too much about baptism either. But I just felt today it would be good to say a little bit more about baptism and to emphasize the importance of baptism, and particularly taking it from this passage of Jesus being baptized. There's probably four different baptisms mentioned in the Bible. Today I just want to look at two of them, namely water baptism and spirit baptism. So in the passage that we've just read, we see them both. Jesus was baptized in water, and then the Holy Spirit came down and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word baptize, it's transliterated. It's a Greek word which we've anglicized. It means to drench, to immerse, or plunge into liquid. And in the New Testament, there's never a hint that it was just a little sprinkle or a little cross or something on your forehead. They baptized where there was plenty of water. And the Jordan River had plenty of water at the time of Jesus' baptism. So that's where they baptized him. And babies were never baptized either. You see, I remember when James was just born, and I was working in the bank at the time, and one of the staff members said, "So when are you baptizing James?" And I said, "Well, baptize James when he gives his life to the Lord." And they looked in horror, because she actually thought, this lady, that I was condemning James to hell, because unless he was christened or baptized, he would never be able to go to heaven. But you see, baptism or christening doesn't save you. It never has, it never will do. It doesn't assure you of heaven when you die. Only faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ actually saves you. So Christian baptism, what we're looking at today, is believer's baptism. It follows repentance and faith in God. So before baptism, we check that there's a clear understanding of the gospel. You can't respond to the gospel and your life not change. The gospel has power to change lives. You see, Jesus died to deal with sin in our lives. He died to deal with that separation from God. God was holy and we were sinful, and there was a separation which came. The Bible tells us he actually became sin so that we might become good. Isn't that incredible? None of us could ever make ourselves good enough for heaven. So Jesus came. And on the cross, he took all the bad stuff. He took all my bad stuff. He took all your bad stuff too. He took my jealousy. Jealousy was put on him. Pride was put on him. Sexual immorality was put on him. Bad language, temper, my selfishness and greed, my lust. He took it all. And as it was poured on him, he also took the judgment and the wrath of a holy God. And in exchange, if we believe, we receive his righteousness. We receive his holiness. We receive forgiveness for all of that bad stuff I've just mentioned and more. We receive salvation, acceptance into heaven, because now there's no barrier. Now there's no, there's nothing preventing us from fellowship with God, because sin has been dealt with. We have been made righteous and holy through what Jesus has done on the cross. And Father accepts us and gives us eternal life, which starts now and goes on forever. This is the good news. You see, our works are never going to save us. Going to church won't save you. Getting baptized won't save you. Only faith in God, faith in Jesus. You see, once we were bad, but he has made us good. Once we were under judgment, but now we've received mercy. Dan's already reminded us, once the old has gone, the new has come. Jesus Christ is the focus. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. So getting back to our passage, John knew who Jesus was. And he knew that Jesus was greater than him. He knew that he'd been called, he was a prophet in the desert there. He'd been called to prepare the hearts of the people for the Messiah who was to come. They were expecting a different Messiah. They were expecting a big military conquering ruler to come. But actually, the Messiah that came was far more powerful. He was bringing a completely different kingdom. And John's message was to help prepare the people to receive this Messiah. So he's completely surprised when Jesus comes up to him and says, John, you need to baptize me. You see, normally baptism is conducted by somebody who's a leader or somebody more mature. And John knew that Jesus was the more mature. He was the higher one than he was. So he was confused by this. But look what Jesus' reply was. He said to John, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. That, in essence, is what baptism is about. We get baptized because God requires it. You see, Jesus at the very least was setting an example for us to follow. If he needed to be baptized, how much more us? But the motivation, the reason, it wasn't an act of witness to bring our friends to see. It wasn't a public confession of faith. I mean, they're both good. They're both good reasons. The primary reason is obedience. God requires it. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. I said, I thought you were going to get baptized. And she said, yes, I am. I said, well, it's happening tomorrow. She said, oh, I don't want to do it publicly. I mean, the conversation sort of ended there. But in one sense, that's okay. It's not a public thing. It's between you and God. It's obedience to God. We take the opportunity to have a public time and this opportunity to invite friends, to share the message, to hear people's stories. And that's always very exciting and encouraging. But it can happen in somebody's bath. It can happen in the swimming pool. It can happen in the river. It doesn't matter. It's obedience to God. So that should settle it. Why are you getting baptized? God requires it. Too many people waver. Too many people don't feel ready. Too many make excuses. Too many feel they're not good enough. None of us are. Let me make it simple. If you're serious about being a disciple of Jesus, he requires you get baptized. If you don't want to follow him, if you don't want to commit, if you want to just carry on living your life as you've always lived it, if you don't want to turn away from that old sinful lifestyle, don't get baptized. But if you want to be a disciple, baptism is for you. You see, baptism can be likened to a washing or a bath. You've repented of your sin, and baptism washes them away. It makes you clean. Or baptism can be like a funeral or a burial. When you're saved, as we saw earlier, the old has gone, the new has come. So baptism, it's burying that old man, that old nature, that old sinful self. Baptism buries it, leaves it behind under the water. And it's symbolic in the fact that you go down under the water and die, if you like, buried there, and you rise up as a new person. It's symbolic, but it's also powerful. It's a foundation for all Christians. So Jesus was baptized, and immediately heaven was opened, and the Spirit of God was poured out on him. A little while later, Peter, Apostle Peter in Acts, he says this, talking to a crowd of people who've been convicted in the heart. And this is part of his message. He says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. That includes us. This promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is for us too. Peter says, repent, turn from sin. That's what repentance means. You're walking in one direction, you realize you've made a mistake, you realize you're going in the wrong direction, you're turning away from that, and you're turning back to God. That's what repentance means. Get baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And later on he says, the gift of the Spirit is given to those who obey. So again, the connection of baptism and obedience. So Peter was answering the questions of the crowd. They were convicted of their sin. They knew they were wrong. And do you know what? They were convicted in the heart. And too often I think we have people that make they respond to the gospel just up here in their heads. They began to realize, yes, but there's not that conviction in the heart. But here in Acts, there was this conviction in the heart. And that day, 3,000 of them responded and were baptized and were added into the church. Hallelujah. So the Spirit came, and he came on Jesus as he came up out of the water, and he wants to come on each one of us too. He wants to empower us to live that Christian life. Without the Holy Spirit, we're never going to make it. So he doesn't want to just be in us. He wants to be upon us. He wants to fill us. He wants to anoint us and empower us to be witnesses for him. That his life might flow. Rivers, he says, if you believe in me, rivers of living water will flow from you. So Jesus was baptized in the Spirit. The picture of the dove came upon him. And from that day on, Jesus' life was totally different too. That's a different story. But from that day on, the miracles flowed, the power of God flowed, the deliverance, the teaching, the healings. For 3 years, he turned the world upside down through the Holy Spirit. But I want to close by looking at the last verse from the passage we read. It says this, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Or, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Probably more familiar with that translation. Wow, wouldn't you like to hear that commendation? What was it that triggered Father God to break out of heaven in audible praise for his son? There was an outpouring of the Spirit, as heaven opened, the Spirit came upon him. But it's like Father couldn't contain himself. He still wanted to say, that's my boy. I am so proud of you. He wanted all those around to hear that Jesus was his beloved son and he was so well pleased with him. So what caused that to happen? Some say it was unconditional love. As I say, at this time, Jesus hadn't performed any miracles, hadn't preached, hadn't started any ministry. And God still showed his love for who he was, not for what he did. Some of you might need to hear that too. God loves you for who you are, not for what you do. And God's love is so unconditional, that won't change. That remains the same. Regardless, even if you turn away from him, he loves you just as much as if you come to him. That's unconditional love. But I want to suggest something more. I believe what really caused Father's heart to be touched was his son's obedience. Jesus had passed the test. For 30 years, he'd walked in complete obedience. And now this step of baptism, because that is what God required, touched his heart. Theologically, he didn't have to get baptized. There's no sin to wash away. There was no old life to leave behind. But simple obedience to his Father, because that is what God required, caused that outburst, from heaven. That's my son. That's my boy. I am so proud of him. What about you? What about you? Would you like to touch the heart of the Father in the same way? For some of you, it may be time to give your life to Jesus for the first time. For some of you, today could be the day of salvation. For some of you, you may never have understood the gospel, and I've shared it in a little bit of a nutshell. And you might have been thinking, well, you're already a Christian. But now you've realized that actually going to church, reading a Bible, being brought in a Christian home, living in a Christian country, getting baptized, getting christened, doing good works, all of that stuff is nothing. It won't save you at all. Maybe today, for the first time, you've realized it comes down to faith. It comes down to belief. It comes down to trust. It comes down to accepting that free gift of God, of eternal life, through turning, and we turn away from our sin and we turn to God and we receive salvation. We're sorry for the mess. We're sorry for the sin in our lives. But we know there's a better life waiting for us as we come to him. For some of you today, you might be thinking, that needs to be me. I've never made that step before. I've misunderstood it. For others of you, maybe you've made that step before. And you've thought, well, that's where I was a few months ago, weeks ago, years ago. But I really need to get back on track again. I really want to come and give my life to God again. You don't need to get baptized again. You just need to come back to God again. Repent, turn around, and come back to him. And for others here, maybe, there's some people which have thought, well, I didn't think baptism was that important. I know the church talks about it from time to time, and I know Jesus got baptized, but I really thought it was, you know, a choice which we can make. Well, baptism's important if you want to be a disciple of Jesus. Can we just stand together? And I want to give opportunity. If we could have some keys behind me, please. I just want to give opportunity for response. If you're in the first couple of categories I mentioned, maybe for the first time today, you've realized you're not saved and you need a savior. Or if you've realized that in the past and want to recommit, would you just lift up your hand so that I can see? Because we'd like to give you some literature. If there's anybody here who for the first time today, or anybody here who just wants to make that recommitment, I just want to give that opportunity before we go and sing the next song of worship. Anybody at all? James says, I don't always see people's hands, but I can't see any at the moment. But that's fine. What's the song we're singing anyhow? Oh, yeah, a broken vessel's okay. Okay, and is there anybody here? Actually, I want to encourage you. If you are here and you've thought about baptism and you've been putting it off and you've given your life to God and for whatever reason you've just decided that you don't want to take that step, I want to encourage you to come and see Jackie or myself, or to see your cell leader, and whether it's here or in a river or in a bath or wherever it might be, we want to help you come to that place of obedience to Jesus Christ, because God requires it. Can I pray? And then we'll have a song to sing in closing this part. And then Dan's going to lead us in the next part as we baptize. I'm on your way, Nicole. Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are and the amazing gift that you are to each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you came, you died, you were buried, and you rose again. Defeating death, defeating sin, making it possible for us to receive eternal life. Lord, we thank you for that incredible victory and for that grace which you give each one of us so that we can turn to you and enjoy fellowship with you. And Lord, just as we've seen how importantly, as you were obedient to your Father, the Spirit of God was poured out. I want to pray, Lord, for each one of us, that we receive more of that heavenly life, that source of life, that beautiful person of the Holy Spirit, that you may come upon each one of us, live inside of us, help us to make you known, Help us to live for you. Help us to live lives that glorify your name. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.